Welcome, everyone, to the Love Yourself, Love Your Business Telesummit. My name is Lynette Davis, president of A&D Media and mental wellness blogger at LynetteDavis.com, your host for today's call. I am so truly honored to be joined by our speaker of the hour, Ms. Amy Buell. So let me tell you a little bit about Amy. After overcoming many obstacles in her life, including bullying, rejection, suicide, self-injury, addiction, abuse, and even rape, Amy has found strength and a love for others. She struggled with mental illness for over 20 years and has experienced many stigmas with it. However, now, despite all of that, she shares her stories around the nation, giving hope to others struggling with mental illness. So before Amy takes the mic, I'd like to invite you right now at any time to post your ideas, feedback, inspirations, or takeaways on Twitter using the hashtag LoveSelfLoveBiz. So without further ado, Amy, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to come on. So I know I just gave this nice polished, what I call a polished bio, right?
Yeah.
But in your own words, tell us more about yourself and how you got started in your work and in your journey.
Well, you know, growing up, it's rough life. It's always been one obstacle after another to overcome. And I knew at a young age that I had struggled with mental illness. I had struggled with depression. And I'd seen my father briefly struggle with it, as well as I've seen my mother struggle with it. But I think the big thing was losing my father to suicide is what launched me into the career path I've taken to spread that awareness for suicide prevention and for mental health. And not only was it losing him to suicide, it was also struggling with it in my daily personal life that brought me this passion to help people overcome it and in the process even help myself.
Awesome. Wow. And that's really brave because, first of all, you had to witness something very tragic yourself and then had to overcome those issues yourself to still have the courage to be able to tell your story. And not just on a small scale, but you have created this large movement that has taken over social media. I am seeing semicolon tattoos all over the place, and I know that movement was inspired from the work that you do, and I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to take in. I still haven't grasped the reality of what's still happening because of something I started in 2013.
Wow. So I want to back up a little bit in your story. Could you tell me about the point during this journey when you are trying to overcome your own issues and get to the point where you launched this movement in 2013? At what point did you come to an acute awareness that something in your life had to change and that you wanted to be that change starting within yourself?
Well, first off, I'm not going to say I haven't reached that point yet. I think it's a point I'm still striving for. I've reached a point where I can move forward in what I'm doing, but daily I'm continuing to reach another point where I can be a better person, where I can be healthier in my own mental health journey, as well as, you know, the stuff that happened in my past. But I think that the thing for me is I was sick of sitting around and watching things and hoping they would happen, that I wanted to step out of what I hoped for and make it happen. I wanted to be that change myself. So it came to a realization that I wanted to make a difference in the world, and I was willing to do whatever it took to make that difference, to be that change, instead of just, you know, sitting back and be like, oh, I'm mad at this person because they didn't do it right. Well, we can sit here and be mad at everybody for not doing it right, or we can get up and do it right ourselves. And that's what the realization came for me. And then to constantly put that, you know, I guess you can say, hat on daily to be that change is making strives to better yourself, making, you know, conscious effort, conscious decisions to do more than what you were doing that day before, to, you know, what's going to help you become better in doing that. Is it going to be healthy eating? Is it going to be, you know, working out? Is it going to be reading a book to get your mind off of things? What helps you be a more positive person and making those efforts daily?
And I wonder, because when I hear that, you know, you get to the point where it's whatever it takes to get to this change, or to be that change, how do you even, especially if, and I imagine that a lot of the people who come your way, or they're struggling with mental illness, they're thinking about giving up on life, and because of that, they don't have much of a sense of who they are anymore. You know, how do you overcome something like that and see yourself again to even want to have that motivation to start taking action? You know, what comes first? So do you take action first, or do you need to see yourself first?
Well, there's that point where you need to believe in yourself, and you need to see yourself as worth it. And maybe it's just a little flicker that you see, and that's what you hold on to take the next step forward. Or it could be you see a bigger, you know, you see something else and you continue. You just hold on to that. For me, it was seeing that little ounce of light and hearing people pour into me over and over. And, you know, I would have complete strangers walk up to me, and it would be the same message I always hear, whether I know this person or I don't know this person. I hear a very similar message from them. And to hearing that positive being poured in, when you don't have that mindset to think, you know, I'm all that, I'm in a good situation. It's not even being all that. It's just, you know, I'm worth something. You don't have that mindset. It's very rare in mental illness. You look down upon yourself. So whether somebody come in and build you up with their words, or you just find that flicker of light that's still in there, and you hold on to it, and you embrace it, and you make it something bigger.
Awesome. So I imagine, while, you know, trying to do that, and then in essence kind of reinventing yourself, and I say that lightly because I say that also kind of from experience, because I know that when you're coming out of, for instance, a depressive episode, it kind of does feel like you're reinventing yourself, because now you're not this person that you don't feel like doing anything, or you're not in a state of just muck, if we could phrase it any other way. So I imagine coming out of that and starting to go, okay, I have a story to tell now. I have this awesome, amazing message, and I want to get this out into the world. And I think a lot of people who want to start nonprofits or causes kind of come to that point where they have that epiphany. But I imagine that lots of obstacles come up during that process. Can you tell us about any of those things that came up for you and how you kind of overcame those?
There were so many obstacles that came up. You know, even the last 6 months of Project Semicolon, you know, being a bigger organization, I should say, I'm not really sure what they call us these days, but there's a lot of obstacles that came, and those obstacles, you know, were a lot in self-love, self-acceptance, feeling you're worthy enough to do something like this, being on the platform that I'm on, you know, a lot of self-doubt came up, and just like, why would they want me? You know, there's so many more that are better out there than me. Why do they want me? And to overcome those obstacles, it took a lot of people surrounding me. It really did. And telling me that, you know, I was worth it. My story was worth it. What I had to say was worth hearing. And then it came to the self-realization that I am indeed this. And yes, I still may wake up one morning and feel like, you know, I'm a failure. I'm not worth being heard. But it's overcoming that mindset and not allowing yourself to believe those lies.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's really important to hear, because I think sometimes, especially with new business owners, they come in to the game, as we say, and they go, you know, people who have this success that they're trying to accomplish, which, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are trying to start organizations very similar, like you kind of said, I guess we're going to call it that, Project Semicolon. And they're going, I don't think I'm good enough, or they're trying to get out there and they're going, who am I? Who am I to start this organization? Who am I to create this movement? And I think that was really important that you said that it doesn't matter what level you're at in the stage of building that organization, you still have those thoughts in your head and you still have to work to overcome them.
Yeah. There's always the underlying self-doubt. No matter who you are, what position you are in, you know, I could be the president of the United States, and I'm sure that he wakes up one morning and says, you know, I don't feel worth it. I feel like a failure. He may never say that on TV, but he's human. He feels it. Everybody feels that self-doubt. It's allowing yourself to allow that self-doubt to control you is what hinders your performance in life.
Definitely, definitely. So, would you say that despite those doubts and feelings, business owners have the potential to take those feelings and move past them anyway in order to get where they need to go? Because sometimes I think people believe that I think before it was, you know, courage is about overcoming fear, but really it sounds like it's not necessarily about overcoming fear, but moving despite fear. Is that, would you say that sounds about right, or what would you say to that?
I think every business professional has the potential of overcoming the fear and using it for the better good. And by doing that, it's really you're taking something that you've already put your energy into believing, and you're switching that energy for a positive outcome. So all that energy you already put into your self-doubt, you switch it and make something positive for your company, for your following, whatever you're trying to establish, and you learn from it. You look back and you say that, you know, I was here at this point, this is what I felt, here's what happened when I channeled this to another location, and here's the outcome. And everybody has that potential of doing that.
Absolutely. You know what? I love that. You said something really important. Because I feel like sometimes we're always told to drive forward, drive forward, drive forward, keep moving, keep moving. But you said something that was really important, and I think it's essential sometimes in being able to move forward. You said look back at what you have already moved through, what you've already overcome. And I think that's a great way to know in the present time that even if you're struggling right now, in the past you've already struggled and you have gotten through that. Otherwise, you wouldn't even get to the point where you are in the present. I think that's an extremely important lesson to learn, you know, as we're on this journey.
Yeah, and another lesson that will go hand in hand with that is if you're struggling and it's too much, sit down where you're at, deal with that struggle, and then pick up your bags and move forward. You don't have to conquer the struggle in 2 seconds. You don't have to conquer the struggle in 24 hours. You don't even have to conquer it in a month. But you have to keep on moving your business forward, and keep moving your business forward means moving yourself forward in a healthy manner.
Definitely, definitely. Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about the movement that is Project Semicolon. How did you get to a point where you were able to activate this business to even, or this organization to even come to the level that it is where you said now you're at the point where now you got to grow again? How do you move through these changing? How do you move through these changes?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't even. You know, I look back at the creation of Project Semicolon, and I look where it's at now, and it just blows me away. You know, I was a college student, just doing this on the side. It was a typical grassroots movement. I wanted to make a change. I knew the branding, you know, the semicolon, everything about it was a big hit. And I knew it was going to be a big hit. But I was one of those people who sat and dreams, like, I remember when Justin Bieber made it big off of YouTube, and I'm thinking, oh, that's never going to be me. Well, then, you know, last year, 2015 rolls around, and that's me. And I didn't, you know, search out for the big push that Project Semicolon got. It amazes me, and I'm still thinking, how did this happen so fastly? And it's just something I have to, at times, not get swept up in, because so much is happening so fast, and I'm trying to make the best decisions for, you know, my supporters, the people I'm trying to reach, as well as the nonprofit organization itself. And it's moving forward again, having that those people around you that can say, you know, you're doing it right, or, you know, here's something you need to look at different. Can we change this, or, you know, how can we go about this to make it better? I think that's just, you know, I'm just going with it. I don't really know how else really to answer it. It's still a lot for me to process in my mind.
I think that's really human, too. And you brought this up a couple of times. You said something about support. How do you choose your support system, and what does real support look like for you?
I'm not sure if I really would say I chose my support system or my support system chose me. Some of the support system I've had in my life for, you know, 10 years, you know, my best friend, she's been there going on 12 years, I believe it is now. So, you know, I've had these people around, and yeah, we've gone through our rough patches, and we've seen dark times together, but the support system to me came when I, you know, I was transparent, and, a person opened their heart up to me and I opened my heart up to them, and we saw that connection where we could move forward as a support for one another, or them as a support for me, or a mentor, somebody to help me navigate the seasons I am in life. It really just, to me, I feel my support system came as almost just like a something that God placed in my life, and He knew who to place and what was going to be a good match for me.
Awesome. I think that's really important because as we're building our businesses or starting our grassroots organizations to, hopefully become big movements, it's really important to know who is in your corner, who's willing to help you, take it that next level to that next level, and who is trying to hold you back and keep you back. So I think it takes a great deal of discernment. And I think this is the part where self-love comes in too, because, and maybe you could touch on this a little bit, because as you're growing, you are going to have different people in your ear telling you what they think is best. And I am curious about how, because you mentioned self-acceptance earlier. Where does self-acceptance come into play when knowing what's right for, I believe you say, for you, for the nonprofit portion of your organization, as well as the people that you're trying to support with the work that you do?
I think self-acceptance comes into play in that particular instance with, in a way, I'm one of them. Or I should just say I am one of them. So if I can't accept myself, I can't accept them. And yeah, I sit there and I watch a lot of them, and I'm like, I remember when I was like that. Why can't you just realize what I'm trying to say? Sometimes I see those traits and it gets frustrating, but I was there at one point. I have to accept that about myself. And until I fully accept that about myself, I'm not able to help them. I guess we could say I could help them to the point, but I won't be able to help them to the fullest potential I have and to what they deserve if I can't accept myself for where I was at or where I'm currently at.
Very true, very true. And I suppose that ripples into how you make decisions for the business going forward, because you keep in mind that you were in those shoes. And I'm guessing by doing that, it keeps you better in touch with the needs of the people who are seeking the services that you offer or the messages that you offer.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So I know that there are probably some people listening to this and they're going, wow, this is really great, and I've heard of Project Semicolon, and, I want to start an organization or I want to start something for my cause. It might not be necessarily suicide prevention. It might be, well, lately cancer has been in the news, all in the news at the time of this recording. So they might want to start a movement to get more scientists looking for cures for cancer. And they are wondering, how do I get to that point where I can activate myself like Amy did? What good wisdom tip what would you say to somebody like that?
I would say follow your heart, follow your passion. If you are truly passionate and have that love for others and you want to make a change, go for it. I had nothing when I did it. I had built everything off of my dreams and aspirations and what I viewed or what I wanted to view this world as. And I went for it. I'm a perfect example that you don't need a ton of money to make it happen. You don't need all the resources. You don't need the connections. If you have a passion, you make it happen and follow your heart. That your heart's not going to lead you astray from doing what you need to do in life.
Awesome. So, Amy, I am I'm sitting here taking notes because I don't want to make sure that I caught anything. And while I'm doing that, hold the line for a second while I ask our audience to share their thoughts. Did you guys and gals, or ladies and gents, have any aha moments in listening to Amy's experiences? I'm sure you did, because I definitely did, and it does. It takes a lot of work to build an organization like this, to create a movement, to have people showing support and you starting from nothing and building something and getting people to come and back you and support you. So if you are brave enough, like Amy was, to share her message, feel free to share your thoughts with us, your thoughts and your feedback on social media. And you can use the hashtag LoveSelfLoveBiz to keep the conversation going and flowing. So, awesome. Amy, how can our audience stay in touch with you? I'm sure they would love to learn more about you and learn more about Project Semicolon. Some might really resonate with the message that you have going on keep on moving and let the story continue. So how can they stay in touch with you to contribute to that?
They can find us on the web at projectsemicolon.com, or we're throughout multiple social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, so on and so forth.
Awesome, awesome. So, yeah, guys, definitely if you want to tweet Amy or Facebook Amy, she just gave you the stuff, and obviously all the information will be listed in her bio section or somewhere on the internet here. You'll find it. We'll definitely supply it. So, awesome. Amy, thank you so much for sharing a piece of yourself with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Until the next time, don't forget to love yourself and love your business. Take care.